is with Mark Witkowski with Amico Group, and he can explain what Amico means when he gets up here. I want to say two things, positive and negative, if referring to Mark. One is positively, he's very involved over in Michigan with the engineering committee, doing consulting and contracting services and such. The bad thing is, as Patrick just confirmed with me, he is a Detroit Lions fan. So be nice until after his presentation, then we'll take care of it. Here we go.
Well, thanks for having me. This is my first time presenting, but I've been coming for years. It's a great conference. Thanks for having me. As for the name Amico, I've been doing contract engineering probably since 1993. And after about 15 years, I said, I should become an LLC. So we said, what's a good name? Well, the clicker works. Or they took that down. Anyway, Amico is, there's five of us in my family, Abigail, Mark, Emma, Kim, Owen. So the name represents the entire family. So, and I thought, that's a really original name. I Google it. Yeah, no. So what we're going to talk about today is I'm going to talk about RDS. I have a passion for RDS. I like the data it provides. So today we're going to talk about, some radio automation metadata formats, a couple RDS encoders. There's some good options there. Middleware, why it's needed, and my solution. And basically this presentation is going to be about my solution and the development journey I've went through for quite a few years. There's quite a few different radio automations out there, and you get various formats. Some of them will give you a nice full-fledged XML format, and that might be in serial, IP, file-based, and some of them might just give you a very simple output, as you can see, like artist colon title. And that's really not a lot of information. What do you do with that? And there's sometimes very minimal customization you can do to these messages, and because without middleware, you can't do generic messaging. Sometimes the automation provides this, but it's very, very simple. There's a lot of options available RDS encoder-wise. You can go as basic as $350. Sometimes it's integrated into your processor. But you can also spend up to $3,000, which those encoders have a ton of options. The basic encoders, you send a DPS equals or a RT equals. That varies depending on the encoder. And the advanced ones, with the basic ones, there's no customization or there's no scheduling. And then for the advanced, same thing. You have your simple commands, but there's a little more customization. They might have some scheduling built in, so you can do day parting. Back in, 2008, we were starting to put RDS on one of my contract stations. And they were running AudioVault version 8. And that provided the artist, the title, the cut ID, the duration, the category, and I think a couple of other things. And then at the time, we were running an automatic FMB10. Very simple encoder. Is Tony still around? It's very simple, but it did the job. And actually, I still have one online to this day. But of course, there was no scheduling allowed on that. It was just basic. You tell it to put it out, it put it out. And the downside of that was, since AudioVault did not provide any specific generic messaging, it always displayed the last song during a commercial break. So here comes the problems. The owner's like, well, why am I seeing the song during a commercial break? The program director wasn't happy. So they wanted some RDS middleware. And of course, I go, well, what kind of budget do I have? And everybody's going to understand this one right there. No budget, right? So we basically, one of the problems I ran into with the FMB10, nothing against the encoder, is AudioVault would send commands too quick, so it would error, and you need a half a second delay between commands because it would send a response back. Like I said, great encoder, but I had no customization with the AudioVault system to put a pause in. So back in, I started at a development on a product It was a project I started back in 2008. I was in the middle of getting my master's. Actually, I was just wrapping it up. And they said, you have to do a paper or a project. I don't know about you, but I didn't care for papers. I don't like writing. I don't like researching. So I said, I'll do a project. So I said, how about an art? You know, I'll write a program to handle this metadata stuff. And they're like, great. My advisor goes, what are you going to write this in? And I said, C sharp. They said, oh, you got experience in it? And I go, no. And I mean, I was familiar with C, but I really never dove into it. Being a student at the time, I had access to Visual Studio. Worked out great. Fit the budget there. I didn't have to pay for Visual Studio. So I had to set up my initial goals for this project, because you have to understand, I started, I believe, in December. I had to be presented by May, so I had 5 months to come up with a working program. Basically, I set my goals to be, I had to receive the metadata from the automation. At that time, it was IP. I wanted to provide enhanced station branding. I wanted to do message scheduling and send a text file send a text file with artist and title to the website. And you got to remember, when it comes, we were sending that to the web, wanted to send that to the website, because the streaming wasn't what it is today, where, you know, you got companies that do that for you. It was basically, we pointed to a cheap stream and people would look at the website for the information. And again, I had to send to the automatic FMB10 via the serial port, because that's all that was available on that box. I'm going to give you a quick run through. These are actual screenshots I had in my my paper back in 2009. So I came up with a quick form in Windows, wrote the code to send to the IP ports. They're very simple. You can see a host. I gave it the host name, the port, categories, because so I could pick which messaging I wanted. And then I had a custom screen where you could go in and, you know, give a little detail here and fill in how you want your format to be. You could customize the radio text a little bit. If you didn't want upper and lower case, you could force everything to capitalization. And then I did a quick scheduling screen here that allow you to do custom messaging just on the PS text. And you could, which worked out great. Another one of my goals was to send it the serial port, very basic. If once the time ran out, it would go to a default. So I've accomplished quite a bit at this point, I felt. And then I threw in to the web, you know, sending it to the website. And then I had a little extra time, maybe a week or two left before the project was due. So I did what was called, I called cut triggers. So if you did some playback programs like you see here, Backtracks USA or Rick D's at that time, you could use a wildcard, you see that file name, you could display this on your RDS. So if you remember my list, I've accomplished all my goals at that point, and this is what the screen looked like. Very basic. It's a Windows form. You can't get real creative with it, but what's more important, creative look, or what you're doing to your RDS? And so nobody can see this. Like I said, the focus is the RDS. So I just told you I've accomplished all my goals, right? Project over? No. It doesn't stop there. You know, you're going, well, what else can I do? So I said, I got to enhance the listener's experience a little more. How about allowing more metadata from like satellite receivers? Because if you noticed in the first screen I showed you, the main goal was get in the basic text from the automation, send it out. So what about the satellite program where we had that was sending metadata? What happens if I want, do I want to send to more locations? More like, you know, do the streaming? Do I want to send to multiple sites? At that time, the messaging only allowed for scrolling text. Let me add in radio text. Maybe I can clean up poorly formatted metadata. Weather display, some people like seeing the weather. What about high school sports? Can I utilize it somehow as a monetary item to sell high school sports and put sports scores up? This is a little risky here. What happens if you have a little interface so they can put their the morning show can put questions up on the RDS? A little risky. You got to really trust you guys to do that. So this is a, I'm showing this screen here. Somewhere after 2009, I added a secondary automation screen or option here. As you can see, to pull in from Westwood One for, I think it was, the show was Leah at the time. It was a country show from off the, but I think it was an XDS coming through the serial port. And then a few years, let me see here. Okay. A few years, then back in, this is what it looks like today. Probably 2 years ago, I got to the point where I said, well, I kept adding to the program and I was building on layers, and I realized it got so messy that I had to basically blow it up and start over, because it was more of a patch on top of a patch on top of a patch. So now with the I call them input sources. You can have up to five. You can choose from, like, say, your automation or your satellite receivers. Like the primary, as you see, the primary source is always your automation. And then your secondary sources are like Westwood One, Stork. You can do TCP, UDP, serial, etc. And then the output side of it, this goes back to early, about 2012. This screen's, it's wrong. It was up to like five exports at that time, not 10. And again, I kept adding on. And I blew up the import section and the output section, export section. Ironically, I did that in, you would hope after 10, 12 years, I'd learn something, and the program size dropped by 20%, which is because I went into threading. I learned how to do some threading in C#. So that's what it looks like today. Still a Windows form, looks better, but you know, I got a lot of options on there. You can go TCP, UDP, serial, even HTTP. I call what's a pass-through mode, where you can send in what comes in, goes out, translate, you check that box, you select a format you want to go out, it will send that out to an IP. And then if you see down there, I implemented UECP. Funny story behind that is a friend of mine was putting a translator on, and he said, well, what do you know about UECP? And I said, well, I know nothing about UECP, so he sent me a 100-page document and said, see what you can do. Turns out the section I needed was only a few pages, which was great for me, but it was still a challenge. And in the export section here, you can select encoder's different, but for flexibility, I didn't tie it to one encoder. You put in the string for your encoder. There's quite a few encoders out there that do a great job, but I added the option. I did my own parsing routine, and there's some advantages to that. Like, say, if you use Apera, where it's a great little box, but I'm sorry, the parsing is horrible on it. I don't like it. But then I have other options on there to do smart capitalization. I'll go into more of that in a little while. Or you can force capitalization on the options. You can have a pause time between commands being sent. If you remember, I was saying the FMB10 needed a 500 millisecond pause. 1 second's good. It's not relevant really during, you know, a lot of the new encoders, they can handle it, but the FMB10 came out in the 2000s, and that was an issue there. And now you got the, like, a few options here I've added to the exports. I added Icecast. What I use the Icecast for is I actually have a private link into one of my contract stations, and I can pull up, listen to the stream. It's not public, so that's how I get away with that. I can see the artist and title playing or appearing, so I can see that the metadata is rolling. I can do shoutcast. I even integrated, so I could talk to the Futuri mobile server, the Futuri directly, and SecureNet directly. Now here's an example of going back to this, what my parsing routine. This example was taken from the Pira P232U manual, and as you can see, I'm not a big fan of how that parses. If you look, So I decided to come up with my own. It cleans it up quite a bit over here. I'm trying to think, the FMB80, I'm just using that as an example because I know it does it, but quite a few of the encoders do a better job. So if the word's longer than 8 characters, it will scroll it over and not necessarily truncate it into another message. One nice thing about, I'm always going to say nice because I wrote this program, so I can't badmouth it really, but one thing I like about the parsing, if you notice back on the export screen, you could put like your little intro before, like Y102 or something like that, or Z100 before the artist. And somebody pointed this out to me. What really drove me nuts is when you have a small little call, your call sign or something like that, like Z100, and the artist for the song, and the artist is the next thing, and the artist shows up, so you see like Z100 Bill. They said, well, why can't you start the artist fresh? Somebody pointed that out to me. I said, okay. And I think that gives it a cleaner look there as well. But, and then this is what the new custom messaging screen looks like. And, you know, a lot of stations have their own slogans like Today's Hit Music. And well, what happens if you get a long artist and title and it doesn't fit? Well, this is where I came up with what I call smart text. And it's right there. You can actually add on an alternative option like, okay, just put, you know, like Y102 up there. And if that you can go as many scenarios as you want, but obviously you get to 2 or 3 scenarios. That's about all you can do. So if it doesn't fit, then it goes down to alternate text. So you always have something displaying. Same thing with radio text. You can do that with radio text as well. So here's what my custom scrolling text looks like. It really hasn't changed much over the years. I've cleaned up some icons and things like that. So you can do it by day. You can say how long you want that message on the screen. Works out great for like at night. You can, when you have no metadata coming from Westwood One or whatever your provider is. I think Westwood One's like one of the bigger providers. You can put like open house parties on the air, or I'm trying to think. They have a couple other. That's not actually a Westwood One product, but anyway. So you can always have something on the radio besides your slogan, if you choose. And that's what it looks like. You go in there. You have your start time, your days, your hours. And this is interesting here. I came back and then wanted, so you can have different text now on the radio text. That's one of my goals to expand the program over the years. So you can have custom radio text. So similar thing as you saw. And one thing I learned recently, not all cars do this, and some encoders like to pad their radio text for the full 63 characters. I know like the Pura, you can turn that padding off. And I'm going to show you some examples of why you want to turn that off where you can. But I talked to a couple people, manufacturers, and they said that's pretty much standard now. They don't pad the full 63 characters. So this is what happens when you pad, the encoder pads the 63 characters. This is off of Equinox, you know, high-end Equinox. And I'm being a little sarcastic there. You'll see it shift it all to the one side because it thinks there's, you know, the full 63 characters there. But that's what it looks like also when you have it padded. You see it's nice and centered up. And this is part of the messaging system. You can do things like this by scheduling that in there. And you can have that alternate with the song, or you can do it just during commercial break. So it's very flexible on how I've got that set up. So here are some of what I found works for me when it comes to RDS. You want to keep the PS text simple. It's only 8 characters. Like you've heard in previous talks, it was never designed for scrolling text. People do it. But again, it's only 8 characters, so you can't really get a good, I always found you can't get a good message across to anybody listening if they're looking at it. And it's also a driving hazard if they got to sit there and watch a long message scroll. I always like to capitalize all of the scrolling text. I think it gives it a cleaner look. I try to use radio text for the more detailed messaging because it's bigger, and most radios, it actually shows it most of the time. So if you're driving a car, you look over, you can get it versus watching it. You don't take your eyes off too much, off the road too much. And I've also found, don't let your custom messaging dominate your messaging. Let your people like to see the artist and title of the song. You saw earlier the cut triggers messaging. This comes in handy, like I was saying earlier, about if you have a playback show, like American Top 40 with Ryan Seacrest, there you go, like hour one, hour two, and I've just put a wild card in there and it does that. You can also have it set up so if your weather plays, you can have it display that the weather forecast is playing. And that's what it looks like, I think it's Saturday mornings they air this show. You'll see that on the radio so people know what they're listening to. Now you ask yourself, can RDS get me some revenue options? It actually does. One of my test beds here up in Big Rapids, Michigan, a car dealership wanted to advertise and say, this is just an example, visit Joe's Tire Service for year-end deals. I don't know why. He wanted it. He thought it was the coolest thing, seeing his name on the car radio. If it sells, go with it, right? Right. And, it's all about making money. But the biggest problem I ran into when we were first testing this feature, he goes, why is it displaying every minute? I don't want Joe's Tire Service up there every minute. So that's where this feature came in, minimum minutes between displays. This way, if you only have a few messages rotating, it's not going to show this every 2 minutes. You can separate it. Funny story about RDS. Somebody was telling me this the other day. When RDS first came back out, it came out in, the 2000s? A lot of car radios had it, but people didn't know what it was. Broadcasters started putting in RDS encoders. And this gentleman decided to do something similar to this and say, service your car at Joe's. Okay, great. He was messing around, went home, forgot to change it back or put the call sign or take off the RDS or whatever. So Joe's car dealership kept getting calls. My Ford's telling me to come to your dealership. What's up with that? They kept getting calls. So they ended up calling the radio station and taking it off. Not this radio station. It was just a story I heard that it's kind of funny because people didn't know. You got RDS on these car radios, and people don't know what that is at the time. So it's kind of funny. Or, you can also use it as a revenue opportunity. Say, if you're at a dealership or something, like a grocery store, like in this case, or you're doing a remote, have this, if I use what I call special events, you can have this dominate, take over your RDS outside of the artist, the metadata from the artist and title, and you can have that display. You can pre-program that. So if you got a remote, you can promote your remote on the RDS. And then if you by putting a start time, date, and all that in, if you forget about it, no harm done. So how important is displaying your weather on the RDS? Some people think it's a waste of time. Some people think it's the coolest thing. You have to remember, a lot of my test beds were small markets. Small markets are treated a lot different than big markets. The littlest things can make them happy in small markets. So my original design went out to Weather Underground, and it had limited API calls. So I really just deployed it to one or two of my test sites because I didn't want to pay for it. And then, of course, the API was shut down a few years later when things were, I think it was bought out by IBM at that point. So then I ended up going out to weather.gov. Ironically, this is something I added in the last year after talking to a few people here. They said, well, why don't you go out to weather.gov? So I went back and did a little research, and I definitely learned that it's a government organization. After I tried to use their information, it was the most convoluted thing I've ever seen in my life, trying to put all their data together to get a simple forecast. The nice thing about weather.gov, you could regularly they updated their stuff on a regular basis. It provides the high and low temps, and it provided the weather conditions. And it's free. Fits the budget, doesn't it? And I don't have to worry about, you know, going over on the API calls. And that's what it looks like. You just go in, you can have a little weather intro, you can send it to your PS text, your RT text. And this is something I just added probably in the last 6 months. If you put a cut name in there so your weather forecast is playing, it will pull up your weather forecast. I think that's pretty cool until you realize where's the weather guy getting his forecast from at the station, because it doesn't match what's being said. You know, high of 80 today, well, high of 67, or you know what I mean. It's a, so you, is that important? Maybe. And then you just go, basically you go out to weather.gov, you cut and paste a URL, and that's all you need to do there. Oh, by the way, you can set up a weather display schedule. So if you don't only want it displaying during certain times. And I tried to make the weather display as smart as I could. It tries various different formats. Remember, you saw it had an intro. It'll try to do an intro, do the full-fledged forecast for the intro today and tonight. Or if it's already in the afternoon, it'll be the afternoon, the evening, etc. It will go through a whole bunch of different scenarios here until it fits. Worst case scenario, it will dumb it down and say, today, severe thunderstorms expected, high 73. No tonight, no tomorrow, whatever, but it at least put something on. I should back up. Worst case scenario, it takes the last scenario and truncates it. I found that is very rare at this point. And that's what it looks like on my Equinox this afternoon, mostly sunny, high 74. But there wasn't enough space to put the conditions for tonight, probably because it says this afternoon. Cool thing is, the Weather Service puts things like, it's Labor Day, or Monday, I saw, it's on coming up here yesterday, it's Columbus Day. So you get a little customization to your weather without really doing anything at all. And in this case, you can see it has the day forecast and the night forecast. Here, you can just set up your display schedule for the weather. You may wonder, you got 7 minutes all day long except for that period between 6 and 10. Well, this particular station I think it's Market 226, they run Bob and Tom. It's all talk. So why not display the weather forecast a little more than every 7 minutes? So something, take advantage of that time. What else can I do to make the listener experience a little better when in the car? You see the metadata here? To me, this is off a friend station in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Great guy. I hate to pick on him. I don't say it's an engineer. I say it's programming fault, not engineering. Where you have the artist, small, title, all in capitalization. I hate that. It looks sloppy to me. So what you have to do to fix the automation, that's where it comes down, and you have that. You can do what I call smart capitalization. It'll go in and it'll try to capitalize that string for you. So you have a couple options. You can go in and say you want it all capitalized, or you want to run smart capitalization and clean that up. As you can see now, the title is now Edge of 17, it's in upper and lower case, which looks cleaner on the car radio. Maybe it's just me, but stuff like, maybe it's the OCD side of myself. I hate seeing that. But of course, smart capitalization isn't perfect either. What about when you have AC/DC? It doesn't know AC/DC is AC/DC in all caps. So, or in excess, same difference, a lot of different scenarios. I came up with search and replace. So you put AC/DC in there, it will correct AC/DC. You may go, well, it's in caps here. Well, you'll see that's just looking for a string, not case sensitive in this case, and it replaces AC/DC. You got the same thing with REM, ELO, BTS, etc. That's basically how you do it. You can do other things with this. You can search the artist field if it contains AC/DC. And if, as you can see, it's not. I don't have case sensitive, so you just put check. So you just put AC/DC in there, and it replaces with AC/DC. Or you can have it look at a specific like artist or title, and you can substitute the artist ID or whatever you would like in that string. So here's what it looks like after the search and replace function. Yes, it takes a little effort to fix some of these, but once it's set up, it's set up. But then some people have told me in this room, well, if the program directors did their job, I wouldn't have to worry about this. If you're a program director, I'm sorry. I was just quoting somebody. So here's what it looks like corrected. AC/DC, you shook me all night long, in excess. So you cleaned up those strings there. So smaller markets typically carry more high school sports, and they make money at this. So is there another possible revenue source? Sure, sell your RDS. So I came up with this. This goes in the studio with the board op, and you can put high school sports scores on the RDS. And that's what it looks like if, you know, the different scenarios. This is called the pregame mode. It will show what's coming up. First quarter, halftime, and the final score. You can put this on RT text or scrolling text. It's all selectable. Now, this is the tricky section. You got producer control. They have used this, but you really have to trust your producers because anything I type in there can go out to the car radio. A little risky. But if you're crazy enough, go for it. And this is what my final screen looks like that I came up with after all these years. It's a little different. I got a little window down there that shows status. And it kind of helps me troubleshoot when I come up with, you know, there's an error or something, I go and review the logs. But of course, when something, it closes mysteriously or something goes wrong, no matter how much data I put in this, I didn't log the right stuff. It just seems to be it's always that way. So I'm just going to summarize my rules that I have found. And these are rules I have found that works for me over the years. You keep your scrolling text simple. Choose the best parsing method for scrolling text, whether you do that with your encoder or you use the middleware's parsing if it supports it. You want it as clean as possible. I always like capitalizing all scrolling text messages. I always try to keep all the detail in the radio text. You let the artist title dominate. Turn off the padding in the encoder if you can for radio text. Like I said, it's the peer I know has an option. I can't speak for other encoders. Many encoders just are now don't even pad it. Properly spaced messaging out so messages aren't repeated too often. Properly format your metadata. Consider RDS as another revenue stream. And if you have the right middleware, you can possibly use any encoder, like the FMB10. It's not fancy, does the job. But this makes it look like any other encoder in the market. You could also, with the right middleware, you can also send to, like, say, a processor that supports RDS, like the Orban or Nautel with their embedded RDS encoder. So, this one particular station has actually made money off selling RDS because people just really. It's a small market, and they really love it. And these were my markets I used for testing. This is where I actually got my starting radio was up in Big Rapids, Michigan. I couldn't give you a market number because there really isn't a market number. It's between Market 68, Grand Rapids, and Traverse City, which is 157. So there is no market number. So it depends what book you look at. They don't know what market they're in. And then one of my other test sites was Market 228. That's down there just a ways. And then my hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, that's Market 68. I had a couple of friends there that said, well, it, can we get on board with this? And I'm like, well, and they're like, you can have free reign of our RDS. I'm like, okay. I can't turn that offer down. So these are just a few people here that I wanted to thank that have pushed me along the way. One, is he in the room? Yeah, he's one of them's in the room here. That would be Craig. He's out, he would ask me something, and I'd say, I can't do that. He goes, well, why not? Figure it out. If that sounds like Craig, doesn't it? So, but I mean, if it's people, there's an advantage to using friends as beta testers, and there's disadvantages. The advantages, you can go through and work through a learning process and learn stuff. And then they'll say, well, can you add this? So it works against you too. So long story short, this presentation was more about my journey on my development process. I learned a lot, and there's times where I'll go and review code after 10, 12 years and go, why did I do that? And I'm hoping it's because I got smarter and wiser, and I didn't do something dumb back then. But, I mean, I didn't go to school for programming. I have a master's in IT, but we didn't do C-sharp programming. I think of this as just a little fun thing I've done over the years, and it's been beneficial to a couple people. And I just hope maybe this will motivate some of you to go out and try something. I mean, C-sharp or whatever else programming language you might want to use, you can pull off little stuff like this. I never thought I could write something like this, but it's turned out to be pretty good. So that's my journey. I just wanted to share it with you, and you know, because it's worked out for me. So is there any questions?
Is your software available for sale?
The answer is yes, but I promised myself I didn't want to turn this into a sales pitch. Okay. So, I mean, I wanted to talk, but we can talk. But that, like I said, I wanted to keep this, yes. I want to keep this as my journey in the process here.
Any plans to use RDS for emergency alerting?
You know, funny, about 60 minutes ago, Alex Hartman and I were just talking about that. And he gave me a little insight. It, like I said, that's the one nice thing about coming to these conventions. I get talking, and you know, somebody sparks an idea in my head, or tells me, "Oh, it's not that hard. Just think of it this way." So, I'm going to be looking at an EAS. You're not the first person to ask that. So yes, I'd like to look into that.
Can your product be used for stations that don't run an automation system? In other words, you know, we have live operators, or we're being fed by an IP. Can it have those static messages but change? Like you could have the name of a show for an hour or two, and then it updates.
Okay, now that it's yes, I actually have a station that they don't even use it for on air; they use it for their stream. Just to, because I send the messages to their streaming provider. And that's kind of what you're saying. You can do just static messages.
Okay, we'll talk after.
But the one thing I did not mention in here, analog only, no HD. And I don't need to go into detail why I can't do HD, but it's, you know, so, you know, I'm a small guy. I don't have a budget to pay fees, so. But most people, be honest with you, most people are like, would be interested in something like this, can't afford to do HD in the first place.
I'm guessing that you could interface with it, but there's a service from literally a very young guy in Australia where if you're running long form shows or playing your own disc jockey's selections, in other words, there's no convenient data source for title and artist of everything that you play, he picks up your stream, identifies the title and artist, and sends it back to you.
Ironically, Kirk, there's a station in about 30 miles from me. I don't know the name of it, but he does use that, and we talked about it. He would, and I think he gets spits back, what, a text file or an output or something like that? And yeah, we just haven't, this was only in like last month or so, and we talked about doing it for his station, because that's how he's getting his metadata, because he's using his automation system, I'm not going to mention the name, goes back quite a few years, because it's a small town operation. He runs an AM and a couple translators. He doesn't have the money to upgrade, so his automation doesn't do metadata real well. So we talked about doing this, and we just haven't got together to do it yet. So maybe we'll talk next year, and I can say, yeah, I pulled that off.
We've got a question from text. LRN Rivendell, support into Pira encoders?
Rivendell, I think if they can, yeah, as long as I can get an output from any system, I can make it work. The one nice thing is people that I have worked with, they say, well, I can do this, and typically what I've done is I say, well, let me give you a demo. Let me try to integrate your thing. Or, you know, and if I integrate it, and if they're patient, I will try to integrate it. Or people say, I'd like to buy your software. I said, well, it sounds really weird. I'll say, let me give you a demo for 30 days. If you like it after 30 days, buy it. I don't want to sell something that's useless to somebody. So if they're happy after 30 days, fine. If you don't like it, that's fine. Whatever. Doesn't hurt my feelings. But yeah, long story short, I have a vague recollection. I tested on Rivendell with somebody. I don't remember. Right. And you just tell me where the file is, if it's text, IP, or whatever. I say, let me grab it, take a look at it, or set that port up. I'll set up my software, and I look at my logs, and then I'll go from there. So any other questions? The good news is I did not cut into your first beer that occurs here at Exhibit Hall. I promised a few people I would not do that. But I appreciate everybody listening to me. I hope you maybe enjoyed listening to my journey along the way. To be honest with you, this was supposed to be just a little project to get an A in the class. It's not a full-time gig. I work for a university in Michigan full-time, been there almost 28 years, and do contracting on the side. I'll tell you a quick story since I got 2 minutes, 52 seconds left. Back when I started my master's program, my wife goes, she goes, if you're going to do this, you got to do it now. The kids are young. You can't do it later. And it took me 5 years to get through it because at the time, I was working full time. I had this contract job with this WYBR. And then I just took on another contracting job. And then I was doing my master's at the same time. And my son was born during all this. So I had very supportive family, in-laws. So I'm just, you know, it all worked out, and I've appreciated everybody that supported me along the way. So, anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening to my spiel.